This hour, we'll take your phone calls with Robert Murch. We call him Murch, and Rick Schreck as well, as we talk about Ouija boards right here on Coast to Coast. And if you've tried one and you want to share your experience with us, go ahead and do that too. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Two special guests, Robert Murch. We call him Murch, and Rick Schreck. Robert, if somebody has a Ouija board and they want to dispose of it, what do you recommend, Murch?
Well, we recommend that you take that board and you mail it to the Talking Board Historical Society. We have a P.O. box, and our treasurer, John Kozik, he checks it basically every day, and we get a lot of donations. And we actually use those along with the stories. We ask the people to write letters to us with the stories of those boards, and we put them on exhibit all over the country so people can see other people's experiences with them.
When you get a Ouija board, generally, why is somebody getting rid of it? Has something happened?
Yeah, some people will say that, you know, they moved into a house, and as they're moving in and they're exploring the attic or the basement, they find one, and they just, okay, that's enough. They just want it out of the house. And other people are playing with them and have a bad experience and say, okay, you know, out of the house, I want this done. And so, you know, we get them for those reasons as well. So it depends. We get them, like I said, from someone just finding them to someone being really upset about them.
Rick, did you hit the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest Ouija board?
No. I'm only in Ripley's, believe it or not. Guinness is, I don't know, for some reason is failing to recognize the record. I've heard a lot of rumors that they're saying it's because there's sponsors on the board. They called it a diner menu, and that it's not an exact replica. But you know what? I think if enough people wrote to Guinness and said, hey, why aren't you recognizing this massive record?
Right.
They listen.
Absolutely. And you've got a picture of it up on your website, don't you?
Yes.
That's a big Ouija board.
When you guys were just talking before and you were asking Murch if anybody was ever reckless with a Ouija board, I texted Murch. I said, you know, that's a great idea. My new nickname is going to be Reckless Rigor Mortis.
I love it. How much did 90 panels of 4x8s cost you?
Oh, it was free. A buddy of mine, his family owns Transamerican Trucking.
Yeah.
And I tattooed a guy. And he was like, you know what? He goes, I know you always talk about making these big Ouija boards and stuff. I'd gladly give you whatever wood you need. And I'm like, how much? And he goes, well, how much you need? And I did a little calculating, and I go, 99 panels? I was scared to ask. And he goes, that's it? We won't even notice that that's missing.
I love it. Okay, let's go and take some calls. Let's go to Walter and Graham, Washington, to get us started. Hey, Walt, go ahead.
Oh, hello, George. I'm glad you did this after the other night when I said I think we should use the Ouija board for a method of contacting God.
And
you
That's
said,
right.
You said, though, we should just pray to God, not use a Ouija
yes.
board. Well, what I was getting at is that I think we're all kind of fake religion on this world. Like, and what I mean is, like, I've talked to priests and things, and I asked them, said, how come at church, instead of doing the BS we normally do, why don't you say, God, could you please show up, or Mary, could you please show up? I mean, the church recognizes that Fatima was real and all this, but no one says, oh, angels, please show up, put them on TV, let's get angels walking back on the earth again. Because basically, there isn't one religion that wants to talk to God, as far as I can see, you know, in real time, really. That's why I'm thinking about starting a church called the Appearance, Church of the Appearance of Our Guardian Angel, something
Interesting.
Real.
Would you be one of the ministers?
Well, it doesn't take much to be a minister. If a four-year-old girl did Fatima, anybody could do it. All I'm saying is, all I'd be saying is, people, look, let's sit down here and don't be afraid, and see if God can really show up. Because it seems to me every time Mary appears or some Jesus appears or something, that they're saying, look, don't be afraid. You're going to have to meet me sometime. Why don't we do it before you're dead?
Let's find out from Murch. Murch, have you ever had a religious epiphany with a Ouija board?
I have not had a religious epiphany with a Ouija board. I've had experiences with them, but there are a number of boards that have been made over time since 1890 that are actually trying to talk to God or a higher power or higher consciousness. So just like you were talking about, Walt, a lot of people are trying to make contact with God.
You have a ghost story that is somewhat related to your back surgery. Tell us that story.
Yeah, I do. Being in this as a historian, you're automatically a skeptic. You have to be. You just have to, never take anything at face value and really look into it. And so my whole life, I see myself as a skeptic, even though I'm investigating something that is, seemingly otherworldly. And what happened to me, so we'll start back. I've had two surgeries that have almost killed me.
Oh, my God.
In my lifetime.
The surgeries themselves almost killed you.
Yeah, the infections from a surgery.
Uh-huh.
Bad surgeries and then, bad recoveries. And back in 2014, I had a small tumor removed from my jaw, and should have been nothing, should have been super easy. Instead, I got home and very shortly developed a staph infection, and it ravaged my body really quickly. And when I went into the hospital, an interesting thing happened. I was very sick, really high temperature. And the doctors and nurses told me, they said, look, you're really sick. You're in sepsis. The infection is in your blood and all through your body. And it's serious. So we notice when people get this sick, if they say that they see people who they know have passed away or are talking to them, we need to know, because it tells us that something very wrong is going on. We're not going to tell you what the messages are really, is that your own head or is that someone visiting you, but we know it means you're in trouble. And strangely, an hour goes by, and sure enough, my grandmother comes in her walker. She passed away in 2001. So this is 2004 actually. And so it's a really funny thing. She comes in, she talks to me. We have a conversation. She tells me that the antibiotics that they're giving me are not correct, that they're wrong. And I kind of laughed because I'm sick and I'm thinking my grandmother was smart, but she's not a doctor. I kind of was not really paying attention. I wasn't taking it seriously. And she grabbed me really hard and told me to wake up. And I woke up, kind of like snapped out of it, and she was gone. And I told the doctors what she said and that the fact that I had actually seen my dead grandmother. And it turns out they redid all the tests. They were giving me the wrong antibiotic. It was not the right for the particular staph infection I had. And it saved my life. So, that happened. And I was like, it blew my mind. Wow. And then, time goes by and things happen. My life got busy. I just didn't think about this very much. And I come to, 2020, a bad year for everyone with COVID and everything, but
Absolutely.
This is just about before COVID. This is about February, and I'm having my seventh back surgery. It's supposed to be my last.
Seven back surgeries. Wow.
Yeah, seven back surgeries. So I'm really excited to do this big back surgery. It's 11 hours. I know it's going to be horrible, but I'm just happy to have it over with. And I have it done, and it was horrible. But it was what they told me it was going to be.
Did they knock you out for the entire 11 hours?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's to me, it was like 5 minutes. For my family, it was, terrifying.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But I woke up and, okay, I don't feel good. It's a lot of pain. It's horrible. I get home, and after a couple of days, what happens is it's my birthday, February 20th. I remember this very distinctly. My family wants to have a party because I'm home from the surgery, and I'm getting really sick, and I don't want to have any party. I don't want to see my family or my friends or anything. I just want to go to bed. And I basically crawl upstairs. I go into bed, and I wake up not feeling good and kind of drifting off again. And when I drift off, sure enough, my grandmother comes in. So now we're in 2020. She passed away in 2000. I know this can't be good.
She
just immediately laughed, oh no. And I said, Grandma, this can't be good. And she just said, you're very sick and you need to wake up right now. And she didn't want to talk. She was angry and very agitated. And
she was out to save you.
Yeah, she was very adamant that this, I needed to wake up. And so she grabbed me, said, wake up right now. And it kind of forced me awake and kind of sitting up a little bit, which was hard to do. And I just knew something was wrong. So I woke up my husband and said, you know, honey, I think I need to take my temperature. I really, really don't feel good. And so he took my temperature, and I see him kind of look at it, rub his eyes, look at it again, go into the bathroom and turn on the light, and then turn the light on in the bedroom and say, I think this is broken. Because it says that your temperature is 105.7. And I laughed. I said, it's obviously broken. We probably knocked it off the...
Or you're dead.
Yeah, I was like, I probably knocked it off the nightstand. So I said, oh, you know what? Look, you try it. And if it's 98.6 or around there, then I'm in trouble. But I bet it's going to be broken. He does it. It's 98.6.
Oh,
I do it again. It's 105.7.
God, that's so dangerous.
You know, yeah, it was very scary. This is like, it's midnight too. It just happens. And so we end up going, 911, and they take me in the ambulance, and I get there, and a really bad night and very close. And you know, it was interesting because they asked me a lot of questions about seeing my grandmother, because again, as doctors, they're not interested in what's causing the message. They know that when the message happens, you're in trouble, that the patient is in trouble. So they've said that my experiences are not uncommon at all, that everyone that gets very sick, that's still conscious, will often talk about how they have seen or being visited by someone. So, you know, I don't know, for me, I don't know if it's that I love my grandmother so much and trusted her that she'd be the person my brain would reach out to make me wake up knowing that, you know, hey, you listen to your grandmother.
Or maybe it's the way she felt about you.
Exactly. It could have been that this was my grandmother who was really trying to
reach
out for me.
Merch, you said that your experience wasn't uncommon. Your grandma visits a lot of people?
She's very busy. she didn't, when she, quote, retired in 2000, she didn't really retire, apparently.
I guess it's a good thing if she visits you, though. She's out to help you.
Yeah, it makes me feel that, you know, I guess what I think is funny is a lot of people will ask me the question, was that experience real? Did my grandmother really visit me? And I always say, I think we're asking the wrong question. Why am I questioning the experience? The experience happened. If I was supposed to know whether that was real or not, that would have been part of the conversation. She'd prove it to me. I don't think proving life after death is really what everyone should be paying attention to. We're here to live our lives, and Ouija boards, you know, Rick will tell you, dead people don't buy Ouija boards. Living people do, because we
right.
want to talk to the dead. We're the ones who are reaching out because we have unresolved problems, or, you know, want to say goodbye, or just want to know what's out there.
Let's go back to the phones. Kai's with us, truck driving in Ohio, east of the Rockies. Kai, go for it.
Hello.
Hi there.
I wanted to call and tell a story that I had about my first experience with a Ouija board.
Sure.
And so I was it was back in 2005. I was at my first job corps, and I had some friends who had snuck in a Ouija board because it's a zero tolerance policy there. And so they had asked me if I wanted to play, and we ended up around the Ouija board that night late, and room checks started happening, and we didn't say goodbye to the board, which is one of the known rules of Ouija board. But I didn't know because it was my first time, and I was just following what they did. So they shoved it under a pillow. We all ran back to our rooms, and next day I woke up, and I had this disgusting mark on my arm. It looked like a planchet. It was in the shape of a planchet, and it was kind of moldy looking. And I was worried, and so I showed my friends the mark, and they're like, it has to be because of the Ouija board. Like, none of us thought, hey, let's go to the nurse and get that checked out or anything. We're all just assuming because of the shape that it was from that. So they're like, we're going to have to play again tonight, but none of us said goodbye. And so we did. And when we got back to the board, we asked it if it was mad because we didn't say goodbye, and it said yes. And when we asked it what it needed us to do, pretty much, and it wanted me to go sit in a dark bathroom. There was no windows in these bathrooms. And so it wanted me to sit in there for 5 minutes with no lights on and just in complete silence. So I'm in there. I'm just chilling on the side of the tub. I'm freaking out because it's dark, and I keep thinking I'm seeing stuff because it's just dark in that room. And then I start seeing these glowing red eyes, and then my friends finally are able to get in, and they come in, and they're like, time's up. And they're like, why were you screaming? And I'm like, I wasn't screaming. And they're like, you were begging us to let you out. I was like, I wasn't screaming because I was just sitting on the side of the tub just waiting for the time to be up. So we all freaked out, ran back to the board, and we said goodbye. And as soon as we said goodbye, the mark just cleared off my arm. Like it had never been there.
By the way, let me bring Merch in for a sec. Merch, do people sometimes get these kinds of marks or abrasions on their bodies?
People tend to have, if you're going to say a paranormal investigation or if a ghost hunt or anything, a lot of people will say that they feel marks or something will happen to them. They're scratched and or they're touched or something happens. I think Rick actually has a story about this.
Go ahead, Rick.
What? What are you talking about, Merch?
A story of being touched by a ghost.
Oh, man. You're going there. Okay.
Yep.
All right, I'll try to be as fast as possible. I used to have these two Brazilian Mastiffs. I had two big 200-pound dogs. And my house was getting real wonky when my first daughter, Winter, was born. By the time my second daughter was born, within 18 months, we had a lot of weird anomalies going on in photos, videos, stuff turning on in my house. I thought my kids being born started something, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So I came home from work one night, and my wife was exhausted. She's laying down on the couch. I come downstairs, and I go in my bedroom, and I'm laying down on my bed, and you know, like when a dog goes to, like, you know, like sniff your crotch, sniff your butt? It felt like one of my dogs was doing that to me, right? And I turn around, I go, hey, whoa, what are you doing? And there's no dogs there.
Nothing's there.
Nothing. And they weren't even upstairs. So I go downstairs, and my wife's laying on the couch, and I go, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but I swear something kind of, like, touched my butt. And she turned pale as a ghost. She goes, the same thing happened to me. Right? And I was like, are you kidding me? I go, we can't even have, like, a good ghost story. We have to have some kind of weird butt thing going on, you know? And about 2 weeks later, my wife freaks out. Like, I wish I could share it with you right now, but my wife snapped a photo of my daughter sleeping, and it was this giant, it looks like an orb, but in motion, on my daughter's butt. So we got some kind of weird...
You got something strange going on there, to be sure. We're going to take a quick break and come back with final calls with our special guests, Robert Merch and Rick Schreck. Their websites are all linked up, two separate websites. They're all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And we'll come back and take final phone calls. Those of you on hold, we'll do the best we can to get to you as quickly as possible. And then in just a few moments, I'll tell you what's in store next hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, exorcist Bishop Ron Fael Enright joins us. So get ready for that. And we'll be back in a moment with Robert Merch and our special guest Rick Schreck to take final calls on Coast to Coast AM. And we're talking about the Ouija board with Rob Merch and Rick Schreck. George Norrie back with you. And let's go to the calls. Let's go to Linda in Illinois. Welcome to the show. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I love your show.
Well, thank you.
This goes back to 1963.
Oh, the day of Kennedy's year.
Uh-huh. Us girls hung around together. We were always together. Anyway, the one girl, her mother was an alcoholic and always hung around this bar. And the guy that owned the bar, she would always go in there to get money from her mother and then leave. But the guy who owned the bar always wanted to go out with her, and she refused to do it because he was about 25, 30 years older than her. Anyway, she met a guy, and they ended up, and they got married. Well, one, she was at her house, and us girls went over there, and we were playing with the Ouija board.
Uh-oh.
And she, because he had died, the one at the bar had died. So anyway, she said, let's call him and see if he'll come back. We, like I said, we were just messing around. So we started playing with the Ouija board, and we called him. And above her sink, she had a small shelf with a couple little knickknacks on it, and she had a picture of her and her husband on there together. Well, we're calling for him. I don't remember what his name was now, but we were calling for him. And the next thing we know, that picture of her and her husband fell off that shelf and landed in the sink.
Jeez. He was a little upset with that picture, wasn't he?
I think it was a little more than that. That was the end of it. We put that thing up and didn't get it out again.
What do you think of Ouija boards, Linda?
I don't like them. And I've always been told if you own one, you cannot throw it away in the garbage. You have to burn it. That's what I was always told.
What do you think of that, Merch? Burn it?
There are a ton of Ouija stations or rules of the board. And again, I'm going to pull in Rick because Rick actually did for the Talking Board Historical Society a great T-shirt which lists a lot of these rules that people believe.
What should we do, Rick?
Oh, well, it's a to-do list. If you want any good stuff to happen, you got to break all the rules. But they tell you never use in a graveyard, never ask when you're going to die, never ask about God, never burn it, never leave the planchette on the board, always say goodbye, all the good stuff.
Never ask about God?
Yeah. There's also a Ouija station where you're never supposed to ask where the gold is buried. I don't know what that means, but that's one of them.
Jersey Doug in New Jersey, welcome to the show. Hey, Jersey, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, George and Tommy, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Other than what I've seen over the last few years on this increase of paranormal shows and whatnot about Ouija boards, I didn't know too much. I happen to be a middle child. I grew up with a sister who was 2 years younger and another who was 2 years older. So there was a lot of sleepovers, as you can say, when I was a kid with my sister's friends. And they had a Ouija board they were playing with one night, and I didn't, you know, have no concern. I didn't believe nothing in it in this whatsoever. And they were all down in the basement, and I don't know, they were calling a school teacher or somebody like that. And my sister came running upstairs screaming, "You wouldn't believe what happened, you wouldn't believe what happened." I saw it. They said, all we had to say was the teacher, and before we got in, it started moving, and it spelled out his name. And I said, yeah, you know, whatever. 2 weeks later, my older sister had some friends over. They've got the Ouija board going. I hear yelling and screaming and everything else going on from downstairs. So I go down there, and she's like, just watch. She says, nobody's putting their hands on it. And that it was sitting on a card table, I guess about the size, you know, that you would put out to put hors d'oeuvres on and whatnot at a party. And there's five girls sitting around it, and they started off with their hands on it, and they said, but as soon as they did, it just went nuts. It started jumping around, and they stopped. They said, come down here and watch. Tell us. And they all moved away. And I'm thinking somebody's got their foot on the leg, a knee under the table or something. They put their hands on it. The thing just started vibrating viciously in the center of the board. It stopped. They got scared, took their hands off. And then the entire board flipped over. And I said, that's it. I threw the lights on. I said, put it back in the box, and I'm going upstairs. And that was the last I've ever dealt with a Ouija board.
Never again.
It was pretty perplexing because at the time, I mean, they weren't specifically asking for anybody after they got done with the teacher deal. You know, they were just like, watch it. Watch what it does by itself. And it began to move and slide around and jump up and down in the middle of the board. And as soon as they attempted to touch it again, it flipped a good foot and a half, 2 feet up in the air, turned over with the planchette laying properly on the table, and the board landed on top of it. And it was, that's it. I said, I'm out of here. Tell your friends you're sleeping in your bedroom, put this thing back in the box in the closet, and go to sleep. I'm going upstairs.
Merch, have you ever seen anything like that where the board did something physical?
I have never witnessed, and I have played a lot at different paranormal conferences over the years. So I have never seen the board or the planchette move on its own. I've only seen that stuff, you know, on TV and movies. So I think Rick and I are both super jealous. We would both love to see this. You know, that's the stuff that we're all looking for. You know, you like for you, you know, you got scared when you saw that, made you want to put it away. And I think for someone like me or Rick, we would immediately grab it, try to look to see if anyone was doing anything, was fooling us, or, and if not, we would want to recreate that.
Years ago, back in the late 90s, I'm doing my local show in St. Louis. I'm called The Nighthawk. And I was doing a program on Ouija boards. And I had the Ouija board in my studio, and everything went wrong. Nothing ever went wrong, but everything this night went wrong, guys. The board wouldn't work. The commercial cart machines got jammed up. I mean, everything went wrong. And I said to my producer at the time, Howard, I said, Howard, take the Ouija board and get it out of the studio. And he took it, and he walked it out, and he gave it to our news guy, Daryl. Just handed it to him and said, keep this. Anyways, Howard comes back in, and everything's working again. The boards lit up, the cart machines are working, everything's fine. Had their good show, and it was done. A couple weeks later, we find out Daryl gets fired. He's gone. And we run into him about a day later at a restaurant. We said, Daryl, we're so sorry that you're gone. And he said, I got to be honest with you guys. Ever since Howard gave me the Ouija board, my life has been a mess. I get fired from the job. My girlfriend leaves me. I get into a car accident. Everything goes wrong. And that was my experience with the Ouija board, guys. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
That's one of Murphy's Law Ouija boards.
Yeah.
You know,
Exactly.
You know what? I've done everything humanly possible to try to trigger that occurrence in my life. I have Ouija boards made out of embalming tables where there's been many dead bodies on them.
Yeah.
I have a planchette made out of a real human skull. I use a lot of odd things. I actually acquired a coffin that used to house a skeleton. I'm going to make a Ouija board out of the used coffin lid. And I'll tell you, I would pay good money to have that happen to me over and over again. I would just live in it.
Just for the experience.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mark, Park City, Utah. Mark, take it away.
Oh, hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Long-time listener, Art Bell listener.
Oh, thank you.
It's funny that you called it, what do you call it, the Lucky Ouija board or the whatever he said, it made me laugh. The thing is, when I was a kid, we did the whole basement thing and using a Ouija board, and maybe it was like one, two, or three of us, and it was never really understood, like, who was touching it. And it freaked me out. But my question really stands is that I believe it was Parker Brothers that we had, and it was a game. And what realm did Parker Brothers, why were they possessed to make it into, quote-unquote, a game?
Yeah. They made money doing it, didn't they, Merch?
Yeah. So this is what's funny and how, again, we're looking at something that's been around a while through today's lens. Like, why today we look at the Ouija board as a spirit communication device, and therefore, why would children be playing with it? But you got to remember, the Ouija board that was introduced in 1890 was always sold as a game. It was not sold as a spirit communication device, even though it's a talking board and comes from the spirit communication devices. They always sold it as a toy, and in fact, it's been sold in toy stores all the time from 1890 to today.
Yeah.
So it's always been a toy. And the reason why it was acceptable for children to play with something that people would ask if there was someone there was because death was so around them. You know, you think about the 1800s, so filled with death, that their lives were just kind of attacked by it. So if you had lots of death around you, as they did, talking to the dead was normal.
You know, and in those days, the games, board games, were it. There were no video games. Television was minuscule. And, you know, they didn't have smartphones. They didn't have anything, you know, nothing to occupy your game, your fun time. So board games were huge, weren't they? Were very popular, weren't they?
Yeah. Exactly. That's why the Ouija board was seen as a parlor amusement, you know, something to pass your time. And that's why, you know, the original talking boards would have good eve and good night, because it was something you'd play at night. You know, once the lights went out, there was no electricity. So, you know, it was perfect. And it was also a great date game. I know people, again, are thinking it might be scary or terrifying, but for a lot of the Ouija board's life, the overwhelming public was not concerned or worried about an evil spirit or, you know, being possessed by a demon. they really used the board for fun, entertainment, like you said, the family gathered around. And
yep.
In fact, the original boxes would show an entire family, including a child with a teddy bear, all gathered around the board playing.
Yep. Let's go to Ron in Las Vegas. Ron, take it away. Good to have you with us.
This story goes back to about 1975. My wife and I had just gotten married. We went out with another couple to the movies. After the movies, we went back to their home just to have dessert. We went to the kitchen, and the kids were asleep, so there were four of us in the kitchen at the kitchen table. And my wife and I were first to play with the board, and when we were playing with the board spelled, I said, Ouija board, who are you? And the Ouija board spelled Prohushka, which was a Russian Jewish name of my friend's grandfather who was sitting at the table with us. It was his home. So it's spelled Prohushka. And then we got very serious after this happened because we never met his grandfather. Then I said to the Ouija board, I said, Grandpa, we called it Grandpa after that. We said, Grandpa, did you have a good life? And the board went no. It immediately pointed no. By now, we're all freaking out. And Rick and Judy are just watching this with their eyes wide open. And I said, Grandpa, why did you not have a good life? And it's spelled E-A-S-R. And we went, E-A-S-R? But Rick said, oh, my God. He said, my grandfather, from the time he was a little boy, he always had ear infections. Both of his ears were always infected, and he was in utter pain his entire life. Well, instead of E-A-R-S, it's spelled E-A-S-R.
Huh.
We immediately packed up the board, and we're getting ready to leave. And Rick says, you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. He said, on the other side of this wall, we were in the kitchen, on the other side of this wall is all my grandfather's furniture. When he passed away, we stored all of his furniture in the garage, which was literally on the other side of the wall that we were sitting. Now, mind you, my wife and I never met this man, never knew his name, and we sure as heck didn't know his Russian name. And he spelled this to us on the Ouija board.
Amazing.
Wow.
It's unexplainable.
Another one for the book, Merch.
I know. I love these stories.
they're great stories as well. And tell us a little bit more. How can people become part of the Talking Board Historical Society?
Well, people can visit us on our webpage on tbhs.org, or they can find us on Facebook, any social media, Instagram, Twitter. It's at tbhs, HS at the end. And yeah, you can find us everywhere, and we accept donations. Obviously, we're a nonprofit, so that's how we do our work. And we do all kinds of things all over the country. We put up gravestones for people involved with the Ouija board who don't have one. We put up plaques, and we work with cities and municipalities to help celebrate the Ouija board.
And, Rick, let's get you in the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest Ouija board.
Yes, let's do that. I'm ready to start a petition.
Let's do it. We'll put it on our website and send it out to millions.
Yeah, you know, my website, Ouijazilla.com, right now is having it's sketchy. So if you go to Ouijahearse.com, it's the same site. I have a hearse modified into a Ouija board, too.
Okay, I'll make sure Lex has that posted at coasttocoastam.com. For both of you, thank you for being on the program. Truly appreciate it. Up next, an archbishop joins us. He is an exorcist, and we are going to be talking about exorcisms. Archbishop Ron Fail Enright, his latest book is called Exorcist Secret Journal, Concealed Cases of Diabolical Activities and Demonic Possession. We're going to be doing a lot of that. And by the way, if you want to watch my Beyond Belief interview with Robert Murch, it's in there somewhere. Just sign up at beyondbelief.com and watch the interview we did on Ouija boards. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.